There's a little bit of excitement, I guess, as you look forward to having a new preacher come here. And I know that you're looking forward to him coming and working with you. And I know that will be a good thing for you. And we look forward to continuing to hear good things from the here at Brook Hill Church here. I will say this tonight. My wife is not with me, and it's not because she didn't want to come. She desperately wanted to. But we went to eat today, and we ate Mexican. Now, I love Mexican, but it doesn't always agree with her as well. And so she said, she went home, she said, I'm going to rest a little bit. I said, okay, I'm going to come by the house before we go over there. And when I got home about 2:30 or so, she said, I'm not feeling good. I said, okay, well, just lay down and you'll get to feeling better. Well, about 4 o'clock when I'm getting ready to leave, I'm saying, Carrie, are you going to get up? She said, oh, I feel bad. So I hope she's better when I get home. But if not, well, I guess we'll deal with that in time. But I know she misses being here tonight. You know, we live in a time when life just really is going in such a direction that we may really wonder if we know really what is in store for us. You live in a day and time when the rules as they once were don't seem to be the rules anymore. The country in which we live and the laws with which we have and the way people normally have been treated and normally the way things are looked upon as what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is evil, and it's just not clear. It's just not clear cut anymore. And so you're going through life and you're dealing with all these things, and in a little while you start to think, you know, what's really going on? Then you look at life and you look at problems that maybe you have or their family members that are having problems, their problems within the home, their problems at work, their problems of sickness, their problems of all kinds. And life just keeps on going. And it seems like it spirals more and more, and every day it seems like something else happens and then something else happens. And before you know it, you just feel like you're being overwhelmed with life. You feel like I just am going down this tube. Life is going down the tube. I'm circling around and there's really nothing I can do about it. Well, you know, our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is kind of like that, when Paul is talking about his work in preaching the gospel, how he had come out of those things of the past. He had renounced those things, but now was preaching Jesus Christ. But he says, as he's preaching this, he says in verse 7, we have a treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of power of God may be of God and not us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Well, I think about these things, hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. I'm thinking Paul's going through a lot. Paul's going through a whole lot of stuff right now, and he's just trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Well, I want to tell you what. We need to remember that when we get life and we see life and it's going like it is, that we need to remember some things. I think some things that are very important for us to learn. When life overwhelms, there's some things we need to call to our mind. And the things that we need to remember, the first thing we need to remember is that God is our Father. You know, when we think about life and life overwhelming, we need to remember God created man and wanted a relationship with man. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, and that's what we learned. God created man in his image and after his likeness. That's what he made. He made man like that. And then he looked and he saw man's life and he said, you know, it's not good that man is alone. I'm going to make a help suitable for him. So he caused him to go to sleep and he took a rib from his side and he made woman to be his help, his companion in life. To have somebody to share with. Somebody that he could have comfort with, somebody to be with. And why did he do it? Because man needed that. God always has been looking for our best. God made the Garden of Eden and He made it just perfect. There's not one thing about the Garden of Eden that was not what it should have been. It was just perfect. And all God said to man is, don't eat of one tree. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. But God wasn't warning them to eat of that tree. As a matter of fact, He warned them and said, do not eat of that tree. That is the warning. That's what He says. But He says, I'm going to tell you what the consequences are. When you do that, you're going to die. There's going to be a death. There's going to be a separation between you and me. As we get to Genesis chapter 3, and they, Adam and Eve, take of that forbidden fruit, you remember that it later on talks about that in the cool of the day when God was in the garden, and He calls out to man, and where is man? He's hiding. He's not wanting to be recognized by God. And God says, why, where are you? Where are you? Where art thou? He says, well, we were naked, and we hid ourselves. Well, they had sewn to themselves clothing of fig leaves. But that wasn't enough. But God wants a relationship with us. He is our Father. And that's what He always has wanted. As a matter of fact, I'm turning my Bible back to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. As I turn to Psalm 145, here's what we read the psalmist says. In verse 17, he says, the Lord is righteous in all of His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and He will save them. God is near us. He is always there for us. He is near to our cry. When we cry out, God hears us. I think about how that is, that we need to remember that God is with us, that God is our Father and He cares for us. I remind you of the passage over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 where it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Now that's what God is. When we are going through life and life is overwhelming us, what we need to remember is that God is there. He is our deliverer. He is our protector. He is our strength. He is the one who wants to be with us. I think about this. I'm also reminded of Psalm 32. I've turned to Psalm 32. And here is where we read again. He says, you are my hiding place. This is Psalm of David. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in my way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. See, here's God. He says, I'm going to help you. I'm here for you. I'm going to instruct you in my way. I'm going to guide you with my eye. David says, I know you are my hiding place. You are. You know, we need to see that God is that for us, that He is our deliverer. He is our protector. And I think about how many things there are about God that we need to remember about God, and the fact that He is gracious to us, that He's provided for us. He's provided for us everything, even though we do not deserve it. Think about, again, Genesis chapter 3. God said, don't eat. Now that's a pretty simple law. It's just one thing. One rule, that's all you've got is one rule. Don't eat of that tree. And man eats anyway. Man eats anyway. Here's God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They've made man after their image and their likeness. They want a relationship with Him. And man has gone and messed that relationship up. Now, what you say, what's he going to do about it now? Well, you can say, I guess like a lot of us might say is, I told you not to do that. So I'm telling you, this is it. Gone. You're struck off. You're separated. Death came. I told you it would. There it is. But you know, that's not what God did. God said when that happened, He said, okay, you're going to be taken. You're going to be cast out of the garden. You're going to have to suffer some consequences because of your action. But there is going to come a day when you will be brought back to me. I'm going to work a plan to bring you back. We're going to bruise the heel of Satan. He'll bruise your heel, but we're going to kill him. We're going to crush Satan. God always had it in his mind. Why did he do it? Because he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be near. He wants us near him. He wants us to be near to us. And when I think about that, I think about how we need to see the benefits we have of having God as our Father. When we're going through these times, we need to remember the benefits that are there. I've turned in my Bible to Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, we see these benefits pointed out. When the psalmist says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." Now notice verse 8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us always, nor will he keep his anger forever. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust." You know, I think here it is that we have this reminder from the psalmist in Psalm 103 about the blessings and the benefits we have of God. We have the forgiveness. He knows us. He knows all about us. And he's rich in mercy and loving kindness toward us. You know, when I'm going through tough times, then I need to remember that. Because when I'm going through tough times, what oftentimes is happening is that people are going through tough times, they'll say, "Well, something is wrong." Well, maybe something is wrong. But I guarantee you there's one thing that's not wrong, and it's not because God has turned his back on you. That doesn't happen. God doesn't turn his back on you. We turn our back on God, and we can have ourselves in a lot of situations that we shouldn't be in because we do that. Because we've determined we're going to turn our back on God, then he winds up allowing us to suffer just like Adam and Eve suffered by being cast out of the garden. There are consequences to sin. There are consequences to the actions and the decisions we make. But we don't ever need to say, well, God is doing this to me. How many times has it been that there are people who want to blame God for situations that they have brought upon themselves? Way too many. My father talks about a time when he was preaching in a church south of here. He was a young preacher, much younger than I am at this point. I was before I was even born. That was. And he had moved and was living there, and there was a member of the church who had two children. And the mother had gone out to clean the refrigerator. And if you'll remember in the old days, now some of you remember, how that they did not have frost-free refrigerators. You had to defrost the refrigerators. And so you'd have to get in there and turn the refrigerator off, empty it all out, put something in there to catch all that ice that would begin to melt. And so she had done that. She had defrosted it. She had cleaned the refrigerator. And back in those days, refrigerators had a handle on them, and they would close and they would latch shut, closed. So she had three children. She had a little girl and two twin boys. Well, the four-year-old girl, had gotten into the refrigerator and was sitting in the refrigerator and had one of the twins in her lap. The other one-year-old twin just came and pushed the door closed. The mother had no idea. Nothing. Till she started looking, where are the children? All she saw was one. She began to look, where are the other two? She called for them. She couldn't hear. She, of course, the one-year-old couldn't say, well, I closed the door. Finally, as she was frantically looking, she went over to the refrigerator and she opened it, and there they were. Their lives were gone. Daddy says, and told me a lot of times about that story. And she said, how can I serve a God who would allow something like that to happen to my children? You know, sometimes their life overwhelms us. Life overwhelms us with a lot of things. I think about life. I think about people who've lost people. I think about people who've had situations in their life. I think of people who've had children who've been involved in murders, horrendous murders, horrendous crimes that I have known, but they keep on serving God. I think about people who've had parents who are tragically, or children who are tragically killed in automobile accidents, or maybe even sometimes people whose children die as a result of drug overdoses. Accidents, things. And life can overwhelm us with those things. But do you know what I need to remember? Is God was our Father. God cares about us. And God did. Now you say, well, how is that going to bring my child? It's not going to bring my child back. No, it would. That would not bring that child back. It wouldn't bring those two children back. You know, it doesn't help to think about the fact that somehow or another God's going to be near and that's going to make everything okay. You know, my mother lost her parents in an automobile accident before I was born. She was 24 years old. I've thought about that a whole lot in my life. I never knew my grandparents on my mother's side. I've heard a lot about them. Recently, about 2 weeks ago, we buried my uncle on my mother's side, her only brother she had. The only way I could ever connect to my grandfather was through my Uncle Howard. Because I thought Uncle Howard just looked a lot like him. I've heard people say he was a lot like my grandfather. That's the only way I knew him. Knowing God's near wasn't going to bring my grandparents back. But I know I've got a God who cares. God didn't cause the accident to occur that took their lives. God doesn't cause any of these things to happen. But it's life. And sometimes life just overwhelms. And sometimes things happen and we're sitting there and we're trying to explain, how in the world can we get through this? Well, what we need to remember is that God is near and God is there for us. And what we need to remember as well, and that is that God is with us. God is with us. Joshua chapter 1 is where I'm at now, because this is at the death of Moses, and Joshua is taking up the leadership of the people of Israel. And this is what we're told. It says that in verse 2, he is told, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I have said to Moses. From the wilderness and from this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And the book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you may observe all and do all according to that which is written. Do all according to which is written. Meditate day and night. For I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I think about this, and then that reminds me of Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 5 and 6, where it says, let your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things you had, for the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we may know that the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man shall do to me. We will not fear what life is going to deal us. You know, we could live our lives in fear. We could live in lives in fear. When things happen in life, it could be that we allow ourselves to be crippled by the things that life deals us. Things that have just been unexplainable to us. I would think in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've seen things spiral in all kinds of directions. And I think we've all looked for answers. We all want answers. You know, we deal in the idea of we need an answer. You know, we got answers for everything, don't we? Just look on the computer and we can find them all. And I think we've really come to this idea that there's not anything that we just cannot get an answer for. And I think this pandemic has been a real teacher to me. And that is, sometimes they're not answers. Sometimes it's just life. And sometimes life overwhelms. I may not have the answer. And there may not be a man living who has an answer. But I know who has the answer. And that's the God who is our Father. That is the God who is with us. And you know what he says? He says, and you're going into this land that you've never been in, this land that you've been told. When you went out to spy out the land, these people came back and said, it is a land filled with giants. And they didn't want to go into the land. He says, you're going to go into this land and you're going to divide his inheritance. I'm giving you this land. You take it and you take it to these people and they're going in that land. Joshua spied out the land. He knew it was there. He saw the things that God said. Oh, it flows with milk and honey. Yes, we can take the land. But there were 10 spies who came back and said, no, we cannot. What was life going to do? Well, I'll tell you, life might overwhelm them sometimes. But he said, don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Meditate on my law. Do according to all that I've commanded you, for I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. What a promise. And then I think about when there are times that we're just convinced that we're alone. As much as we may sit there and think, well, I know life has its bad experiences. I know we deal with all kinds of things constantly in life, but there are just some things that I just know we need to be able to explain. And there are just times that I know good and well as I'm going through life that God is, well, he may be there, but I'm all by myself. And really, to be honest with you, I just don't know where God's going to be able to help me with this. Well, that kind of thinking is all the kind of thinking that comes from Satan. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe, even though God has said, I'm with you, that there's going to be some time he's just not going to be able to be with you. He's going to mean to be with you. And what we do is we humanize God. Because God said, I'm not going to ever leave you alone. I'm not going to ever forsake you. But we're going to convince ourselves that at some point in time that's just not possible. Because as much as I say, well, I'm always going to be there for you, we know good and well there's sometimes when somebody needs us and they make that call or they try to reach out to us and we're not there. And we say, well, I would be if I'd have known. And somehow we kind of think, well, God's like that too. Sometimes he's just not going to be available. He's going to be working with somebody else that needs him at the same time I need him. And you say, well, you can't be in two places at once. No, you're right. With man, that's impossible. But remember, with God, all things are possible. But what about that time when I am convinced that I'm all by myself? I've turned my Bible to Romans chapter 8. Turn into Romans chapter 8 now. And this is what we read when Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He's talking about this time when we go through life and we're dealing with all kinds of struggles in life and we're trying to serve God. He reminds us about this. He says in verse 31, let's just start there. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, you know what? When life is going along and you're convinced that you're all alone, and life is overwhelming you, and you are just falling down fast, and you know there's no way out, remember, who can be against us if God is with us? Who can lay anything to God's elect? Shall persecution, distress, peril, sword? I mean, he goes through and he lists all these things, all the things in life that we can say, oh, this is it. This is the time. It's just me and my choice. No, God's with us. We need to learn to have that confidence in God. And what we need to learn too sometimes, and this is the hard part, sometimes it may be that when we serve God, it may not be good for us. It may not be. That's a hard thing for us to think, because we think, well, if we're serving God and we're doing right, we ought to be blessed. We're God's children. We're serving him. I remind you of Revelation chapter 6 and those souls that are being at the altar there, who've been slain for the word of God. And they're crying out, how long, O Lord, will you not avenge our blood? So the people who gave their life in the service of God, the people who were faithful to God, and they stood faithful with him, and God was with them. But they weren't spared. They weren't spared hardship. As I think about this, I'm reminded, and just turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and we look at that text, that great roll call of faith, and we read about those people. But then as we come on down in that text, it says, what shall we say more? Verse 32, for time fails us to tell of Gideon and the Barak and Samson, Jephthah and David and Samuel, the prophets. And notice what he says, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence, and escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, and became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And we say, oh yes, that's it. That's what we're talking about. The women who received their dead raised again. Yes, that's it. Don't stop there. But others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. You know, these people died in faith too. We always see those that we read in the story and say, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, those are good stories. They're good. They're things we need to build our faith on. But, you know, the Hebrew writer doesn't say it all comes out in this life, because it doesn't. He says, there are people who are faithful to serving God. I haven't got time to tell you about their lives and about their faith. But it didn't end well for them. But you know what? It will be well with them. it will be well with them. You know, I think that's what we need to, that's what we need to come to grips with. We need to come to grips with when life overwhelms. What are we going to do? Who are we looking to? Where are we looking for our deliverance? Where are we looking for our protection? Where are we looking? What are we focusing our attention on when life overwhelms? Where do we go? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Sometimes there are people who talk about that song and they'll say, I just don't like that song. Because we sure are blessed far more than that song indicates that we should be. Well, okay, maybe that song was written in the times of depression, and maybe, yes, even in times of depression, maybe we might be blessed far more than we deserve anyway. But the point of the song is what I think we need to focus on. And that is, when life is overwhelming us, where do we go? Where can we turn? Where do we find our comfort? Where do we find our solace? Where do we find our strength? How are we going to make it through? We're going to make it through with the Lord. May we turn to the Lord. Maybe that you hear this and even you're not a member of the body of Christ. Think of nothing better tonight than somebody says, you know, I want to serve God. I know it always won't be a rose garden. God didn't promise us that. But God has promised us, if we're faithful and we serve Him, it will be well with our souls. And tonight, if it's not well with your soul, I would encourage you to think about that. Make whatever changes you need to make tonight to make your life well, to make your soul well, to make your soul in keeping with the Lord. If we can assist you tonight in making your life what it ought to be, we want to do that. While we stand and sing, won't you come?